Thank you so much for that, Graham. I don't know, am I the only person that would love for Graham to make an audio recording of the Bible? I would listen to that all day long. Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you here. It's lovely to know that there are also people watching on the live stream. And today, as Elisa has shared with us, we're looking at our last message in the series, The Characters of Christmas, Ordinary People with Extraordinary Roles, and we're looking at Simeon. Well, what sort of person are you? Are you the sort of person, yes, hello, are you the sort of person who puts up all the decorations as soon as you hear that first carol in the shopping centres? Or when they start putting the decorations up down the main streets of the town? Or when they start selling those little chocolate advent calendars? So that's kind of mid-October, I think. Or are you the last-minute rush kind of person who does everything the day before Christmas? I have to confess that this year I've done pretty much nothing in preparation for Christmas. No tree up, no decorations, no cards written. I feel like I'm very behind the eight ball, but that's okay. However, as a child, Christmas was my favourite time of year. I would beg my parents to put the Christmas tree up. And in fact, I would start begging as soon as the carols started being played in the shopping centres and as soon as the decorations went up and those little chocolate advent calendars came out. So that was, again, probably mid-October. And I would nag and nag and nag until finally my parents would relent. I'm not sure whether it was because they'd planned to do it at that time anyway or they just had enough of me. And one thing I loved is that we would spend a Sunday afternoon as a family putting the tree up and decorating it together. It was a really lovely time of spending it together with the people who were dearest to me. And then once the tree was up and decorated, I would eagerly await those very shiny packages that would arrive underneath the tree, those brightly wrapped presents. Now, even though I was oblivious to it, money was actually fairly tight at times in my family. And there wasn't a lot of money growing up for the things that weren't absolutely necessary. We didn't get a lot of toys. Most of our clothing was hand-me-downs. Most of our toys were hand-me-downs. But that was one of the reasons why I was so excited about Christmas. That was one of the times in the year when usually my parents would have budgeted so carefully that I would get something that I really, really, really wanted. Something I'd been hoping for, probably at my birthday, but it hadn't come. I thought maybe Christmas was the opportunity for a second chance. Do you know what? I didn't even really care that the presents that were under the tree were generally wrapped in last year's paper that had been very carefully unwrapped and then ironed to make it look like... I can see that there are some people who are looking horrified at that and then some people shaking their head, yep, yep. The problem with modern-day wrapping paper is that you can't peel the sticky tape off. The paper rips every time. I reckon that's deliberate. Anyhow, I've worked out that if you very carefully slide a pair of scissors under the edge of the paper and snip along the line of the sticky tape, you can still get another year out of it. It's good. You just have to make sure you don't accidentally iron over sticky tape. That doesn't end well. Okay, well, there is one Christmas in the early 80s. This is my 1980s Christmas tale. One Christmas in the early 80s that has stuck in my mind. And guess what? This here is the very same present I received way back then. The wrapping paper is different. I did use secondhand wrapping paper to make it look more authentic. But it is the very same gift I was given all that time ago. Now, I noticed that this particular Christmas, there weren't so many presents under the tree. And in fact, from memory, this was the only gift I got that year. So, of course, if there's only one gift under there, it must be something really, really, really good. Maybe there'd be like three or four things all wrapped up in the one piece of paper. My mind was going to all sorts of exciting places. We had very strict rules growing up, and one of them around Christmas was that we weren't supposed to go into the lounge room once the Christmas presents were under there. My parents knew us way too well to trust us with that. But one day they happened to be out. And I confess, I snuck in there and I looked under the tree and I found this present with my name on it. And that started me thinking, what could it be? I looked at the size. I thought, oh, maybe, just maybe, it's a Blondie cassette. Or even if it's ABBA, I know that's a bit 70s, but that's still good. For those of you younger people, a cassette is something you used to play music on. Well, I stared at the present for a while, sizing it up, and I thought, maybe if I just check the weight, that'll give me a clue. So I picked it up very carefully, making sure that because one corner was tucked under a present, that I lifted it carefully so I could slide it back under again afterwards. I weighed it up, thought, definitely not a cassette. Not heavy enough for that. What could it be? What could it be? I know. I'll just feel it. Ooh, nothing hard in there, no edges. By that stage, I was very glad that the paper was secondhand because if it had been pristine, all of these little things would have been noticed. I had no idea, but I carefully slipped it back under the presents in the tree. I had decided that it must be clothing. And being an 80s girl, I was getting pretty excited. I'd sort of worked out it probably wasn't big enough to be a tracksuit made out of that parachute material that went whoosh, 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 every time you moved. It probably wouldn't be that. It wasn't quite big enough. Maybe it was a T-shirt. Maybe it was a Wham! T-shirt. That would have been pretty exciting. I was a big fan of George Michael. And then it dawned on me, oh, a pair of leg warmers. I had been begging my parents for a pair of leg warmers about the right weight. Maybe if they were wrapped beside each other, that could be the case. Maybe. The anticipation was building. I was becoming so excited. It was almost overwhelming. All of the things that I'd imagined inside that wrapping paper. I wonder how Simeon felt as he waited for the coming Messiah. How long had he been waiting? Had he been waiting a few months like I had from mid-October? Did he go about his daily life seeing mothers carrying their babies down the street wondering, oh, is that the Messiah? I wonder. I think most of us can relate to a building sense of anticipation. We know when we long for something, we get that sense of excitement that builds and builds. But Simeon's situation was very, very unique. He was waiting for a gift that would change the lives of people in a way that nothing else could. We don't actually know a lot about Simeon from Scripture. This is the one small passage in the Bible that he's actually named. There is another Simeon, but it's a different person. So let's take a closer look at this passage and see what we can find out about him and his role in the Christmas story. Verse 25 tells us that Simeon was righteous and devout. So we know that he was a man of good character and that he was really committed, devoted to God and to following him. We also know that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the one who would save God's chosen people. Now, as the children's segment shared this morning, The Holy Spirit is given to all followers of Christ after Jesus' death. But we do read in Scripture of people being given the Holy Spirit for a particular purpose at specific times. If you read through the book of Judges, you'll hear about the Holy Spirit guiding and influencing and being within Gideon and Samson, just as a couple of examples. We read in Luke 2 here, in this verse, that the Holy Spirit was guiding and directing Simeon. It wasn't a coincidence that Simeon met Mary and Joseph as they brought Jesus to present him at the temple. Mary and Joseph were following all of the law that was required with their baby. But it was really obvious when we read verse 27, it states very clearly that Simeon was moved by the Holy Spirit to go into the temple courts. I don't think that guiding him to Jesus was the only thing the Holy Spirit did. I actually think that it was the power of the Holy Spirit that allowed Simeon to recognize that this very baby, Jesus, was the Messiah. In many religious paintings and icons, it's really easy to pick Jesus. He's the one with the circle around his head. Often the whole family will have the circle around there, but he stands out. It's obvious. So if we look at the picture on the left with the circle around the baby, the little halo, you'd know, okay, that's obviously Jesus. But I actually think that to most people around, it would have looked way more in real life like the second picture, the one on the right. Just a mother and a baby. Jesus, just like a regular baby, needed to be fed. He needed to have his nappy, whatever, his cloths changed. He needed to be cared for and looked after, just like any other baby. Sometimes it's so easy for us to focus on Jesus' divinity, we actually forget about his humanity. And I think it's really important that we keep both of them in mind. As Simeon took this baby Jesus into his arms, he knew here in this little baby, this very baby that was dependent upon others to provide for all of his needs, in this baby was the Saviour. And Simeon said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon acknowledges that God has fulfilled his promise, that the Messiah would come before Simeon died. That promise has been fulfilled. He had seen the Messiah with his own eyes now, and his life felt complete. This demonstrates that this was obviously the main priority in Simeon's life. This was the one item on his bucket list. It had been ticked off, and now he was ready to die. This clear priority reiterates the fact of just how devout Simeon was. He even refers to himself as the Lord's servant, acknowledging the type of relationship that he had with God and demonstrating the reverence that God was due as his master. Verse 32 specifies that this child was a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. This is a very, very clear indicator that Simeon realized the Messiah was not just for any one particular group of people. He was not just the Savior for the Jews, but for all people, just as he is today. Now, it might be easy reading the story up till now to be lulled into a false sense of ease, thinking that this is just one big happy story, the birth of a child who would be the saviour of all. But Simeon doesn't stop there. He has more to say. Verse 34 paints the other side of the picture and points toward the future that lies ahead. Rising and falling, this whole idea of the fact that people will accept Jesus and people will reject him. Not only will he be rejected by some people, but people will speak out against him. He will be spoken against, targeted. And we see the way this played out with the Easter story. The way people responded to him showed the state of their heart. Those who hated him became plain to see. Those who loved him was also obvious. But the pain and suffering was not just for Jesus. Mary would also experience great anguish. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. Mary would see the child she delivered paraded around and humiliated. She knew who he was. The angel had visited her and told her. She had conceived him as a virgin. She knew that this child was special. And to see what he went through must have been heartbreaking for her. She would see him suffer and die. But this message isn't about Mary. Denise did a very good job of speaking about her a few weeks ago. Maybe that's one you can catch up on if you missed it. So what lessons can we learn from the story of Simeon? Number one, God keeps his promises. God promised Simeon that he wouldn't die until he'd seen the Messiah. And in this passage, we see how God's faithfulness is demonstrated. He has kept that specific promise. Now, there are lots of promises that God makes to each of us. A rainbow is a reminder that God has promised he will never allow the earth to be destroyed by flood again. God promises that he will never leave or forsake us. That means that no matter what life throws at us, we'll never have to face it alone. To be quite honest, I think for all of us, the last couple of years have been really tough, some more than others. But people have really felt and experienced a level of isolation, I think, that most of us have never encountered before. What a comfort it is to know that even in the midst of those moments of isolation, we are not alone. God is with us. Another thing we can learn from this story of Simeon is that the Holy Spirit guides. Just as the Holy Spirit guided Simeon so he would encounter Jesus at the temple, those of us who love God have the Holy Spirit to guide us as well. Now, I have a very close friend, and she's an excellent listener. She not only listens to people, though, she really seeks to listen to the Holy Spirit. She wants to hear from God. And I'm really astonished how frequently she'll come up to me and we might pray about something together and she'll say to me, I don't know why, but I feel like I should do this particular thing for that person. I don't understand, but I really feel that's what God wants me to do. And every time she does it, usually within a matter of months or weeks or maybe even days, it becomes really clear why God wanted her to do that thing. Something happens and then suddenly it's like, oh, my goodness, it's obvious now in hindsight. She's not She's learned not just to listen, but she really does act. This friend is also an amazing quilter. Like, she makes the most beautiful quilts, absolutely gorgeous. And her quilts are the closest thing to a human hug you can experience without another person. You get wrapped up in this quilt. Oops. Get wrapped up in this quilt and you just feel that love. One of the things that she's noticed is that sometimes she feels God puts it on her heart to make a quilt, a very specific quilt. And it might be that God's placed a person's name in her mind, or it might be that she just feels drawn to a whole range of fabrics and she'll start making a quilt out of it in faith. Those of you who've made a quilt know that they're not the sort of thing you can whip up overnight. There's a lot of effort in making one of them. So when God places a person or a bunch of fabric on my friend's heart or in her mind, she starts making that quilt in faith, even if she doesn't know who that quilt's meant to be for. Now, generally around the time that quilt is finished, it becomes really obvious that that quilt is for a specific person. And every time, the colours are perfect. It's like it was chosen and designed for that person specifically, every single time. Now, if this is a one-off thing, I could maybe say, oh, it might be a coincidence, but I've seen it happen time and time again. I personally feel really blessed because I have one of her quilts. And she gave it to me and said, Sue, every time you need a hug, wrap this tight around you and know that you are loved and cared for. The fact that God put me on her mind and her heart shows me how much God loves me and cares for me in such a specific way. And I can tell you, this world is a much, much, much better place because of my friend's obedience in not just listening to the Holy Spirit, but acting upon the guidance that she is receiving. Another thing we can learn from this passage, we can learn that Jesus is both human and divine. When most people probably looked at baby Jesus and saw his humanity, Simeon recognized his divinity. I have to confess that this is up there with trying to understand the Trinity with regards to how does that all work. The fact that Jesus is fully human and fully God, I'm going to be completely honest, I don't understand it. I don't. I've got my own little clues, my own ideas and my own thoughts around that, but I'm not going to begin to try and explain it because I know I'll make a mess of it and it will be really, really embarrassing. But if anyone does have the answers, please feel free to email me and let me know. I'm really keen to understand more. The one thing that I do take from this, though, is that Jesus was born as a baby, completely dependent on others to care for him. He understands what it is to be human. He experienced love, rejection, anger, temptation, grief. He experienced pain and suffering unlike any I can imagine. He knows the struggles we face. And if he hasn't been in the exact same situation as us, he's been in one, I'm sure, that was similar enough for him to understand what we are going through. Jesus is not only human, he is divine. He is one person of the Trinity. While his humanity helps us to be assured of his ability to understand us and what we go through, the challenges we face, his divinity is necessary for him to be the Messiah Simeon was waiting for. And this leads us to our last point. We need to recognise that Jesus is the greatest gift of all. At the beginning of this sermon, I showed you the present I was given for Christmas many, many, many years ago. I'm not going to say exactly how many, but you can guess. It's well over 30. When I unwrapped it, I was bitterly disappointed. And I can remember that moment of trying really, really, really hard to hide my disappointment from my parents, because I knew my parents always did their best. It wasn't the leg warmers. It wasn't anything that I'd anticipated. Money had obviously been really tight that year. And instead of getting something that I wanted, I was given something that my parents would have had to buy for me anyway. It was something that I needed. It was purely practical. My lack of maturity meant that I didn't appreciate this gift at the time. But all these years later, I've kept that gift and I still use it. It was well chosen. Unlike me, Simeon didn't wait with eager anticipation for something that was a passing fad. He certainly wasn't waiting for leg warmers or a Wham t-shirt. He waited for the most important gift of all. Yes, he did. He waited for something that every single person on the face of the planet back then needed. He waited for something that every single person on the face of the planet today needs. A saviour. So today I challenge you just as I challenge myself. I challenge you and myself to trust in God's promises. To listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit and to act upon it. To find comfort in the fact that Jesus understands the challenges we face because of his humanity. To acknowledge Jesus' divinity and to accept the gift of salvation that he has offered to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the provision of a Christmas gift that every single person needs, the sort of gift that we need for the entirety of our lives, the sort of gift that is not a passing fad, but really, really reaches into the deepest core of our being to provide for us in ways that we can never fully understand or appreciate. Thank you, Lord, for providing us with a Saviour. I pray that each of us will remember to trust in your promises, to listen for the leading of your Holy Spirit and to act upon it, to find comfort in the knowledge that you understand what we go through, that you will help us to really understand your divinity in a better way. And Lord, I just pray that for each of us who has accepted the gift of salvation, that you will help us to grow in our faith. And I pray for each person who hasn't yet made that decision, that you will really reach out to them and they will have a sense of your presence with them, and that they will reach out to you in turn and they will come to know you as their personal Saviour. I pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.